This parable is typically known as the parable of the prodigal son. However, I think it needs to be renamed because it really is the parable of the merciful father. It's really not about the son. But I'm going to be focusing on just one little slice of the parable. Now, I want you to notice the disrespect first of the younger son. It would be like one of your kids coming up to you before you're dead. Of course, they can only come up to you before you're dead. Should have thought of that. But coming up to you and saying, "Mom, Dad, can you give me my inheritance now? I don't want to wait till you die." And so, first of all, this father splits up everything and gives this guy half of what he's going, what he's going to inherit. Now, of course, the story goes on and he goes off to another country and he begins living with, you know, drinking and prostitution and all kinds of stuff like that. Then when he hits the lowest of the low, because you got to remember, for a Jew to go and be sent to a pig farm is the lowest of the low. Okay? Not only the lowest of the low, he's jealous of the pigs. He wants to eat what the pigs are eating. So this dude has gotten really low. Notice then, when he decides to go back to his father, he comes to his senses. But notice, and this is what I want to focus on, notice his thought pattern. He is not repentant. He is not saying, "Oh my God, I have sinned. I have done what is wrong." Did you notice his thought pattern? "I gotta go back. My father's workers are eating better than I am. I gotta go back and get a job. I know my dad won't take me back as his son, but he can give me a job." So he doesn't go back because he's sorry. He may be sorry, but I think he is sorry that it didn't work out. He goes back for the wrong reason. He goes back because he's hit rock bottom. Now, I don't think that that's, from our perspective, that's not a very good reason to go back. Okay? He's not really sorry for what he did. He just hit rock bottom. Now, the father should have known this. First of all, I don't know that I would have treated that kid the same way that father did. I mean, I would have at least said, "You know, we need to talk. Look at what you did. You know, are you sorry for what you did? Are you?" Something like that. But notice that the father doesn't even wait for his son to get home. I think if I would have been there, I would have been standing on the porch kind of like, "Look who's coming back. Look who's coming back." But this father runs out because he's filled with compassion. Now, I want you to notice, the father doesn't even care as to the motivation of the son's return. And the son's return is very clear. At first, the father doesn't even, did you notice this? The father doesn't even wait for the apology. Doesn't wait. He doesn't wait and then the son apologizes and the father says, "Forgiven." No, no, no. The Bible says he throws his arms around the son, not to kill him, but to welcome him back. And then after the father has embraced him, then the son says, Father, I don't deserve to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired hands. He's asking him for a job. Now, here's the next part that's interesting. The father doesn't even acknowledge the apology. He doesn't acknowledge it. The father should have said, me telling God what to say, but the father should have said, did you learn your lesson? Did you learn? Nothing. The father immediately ignores the apology, and then he says, bring out the fatted calf. Why? Because this son of mine was dead, and now he's come back to life. Now, notice the motivation of the father. First of all, the motivation of the son is sheer survival. He's coming back. He's doing the right thing for the wrong reason. He's not sorry. But notice, even though the father understands that, he still wants him back. He still wants him back because he loves him. The second part is very interesting. The other son. Notice how the other son reacts, which is not much better. The other son, first of all, the first son just wants a job. He's not very sorry. The second son is angry because he deserves. That's the language he's using. He's saying, look, I have obeyed all of these orders from you. I deserve at least a little goat to feast with my friend. I deserve that. And notice the father once again, the reasoning. This son of mine was dead and has come back to life. We have to rejoice. Notice that the reasoning for the welcoming back of the prodigal son is that, the rejoicing, and the reasoning for the second son is the same. The father is rejoicing because somebody he loves has come home. And in the second instance, he is saying, this is not about you doing stuff to earn. All I have is yours. You don't have to earn anything. You're with me all the time. And everything I have is yours. You could take a goat anytime you wish and have a celebration you don't have to wait for me to give it to you. Notice how both sons have the wrong take on how they belong to the father. They belong to the father not because they do the right thing. And in case of the son who went away and did the wrong thing, or they belong to the father not because the son was doing the right thing by staying obedient to the father. Why do they belong to the father? Because he's their father. Because he's their father. Now, a lot of people can say, well, if that's the case, then I'm just going to go out and do whatever the heck I want, and then I'll come back. Go. Because the very first thing you're going to experience is that God's not going to run after you. He's going to let you screw your life up royally. You want to screw your life up? You want to end up with the analogy of basically being with pigs? Go for it. Ultimately, that's what one of the things that I've learned about AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, is that you can't control another person. You got to let them be. And they got to hit rock bottom before they come back. Notice the father didn't say, don't go, don't go, don't go. He let the son hit rock bottom. He didn't go rescue him. He let him hit rock bottom. And so the very first thing we have to learn is that God respects your freedom. He wants you back. He doesn't even care if you come back for the wrong reasons. I can't tell you how many times I have to talk to people that don't feel they deserve to be forgiven. And you know what? They're correct. They do not deserve to be forgiven. Nobody does. Nobody does. You're forgiven not because of your beautiful qualities of sorrow. You're forgiven because God is crazy about you and He loves you. And ultimately, what you're going to find is that the way to your conversion is not because you have this tit for tat with God that I do right and you take me back. It's because the sheer love that that God has for you will ultimately melt your heart. Let me tell you a quick story. This happened several years ago. And I saw it happen, and it was a very moving moment. A man was married, and is still married. And he noticed that at one moment his wife was making very secretive phone calls. And he began to think the worst. He began to think that she was having an affair. He saw some expenses on the credit card, and he began to even be more suspicious. And as time passed, he began to berate her and accuse her of having an affair. Not too long after this, the accusations began, and things were getting rocky, and the wife was not saying anything. He walked into his home a day before his birthday, and he was being given a surprise party by his wife. And his wife, all the secretive phone calls and the expenses were all about preparing for his birthday party. I never saw that man feel so ashamed. And he had tears in his eyes when he experienced the love that his wife had for him and the way that he had treated her. His love for her grew for no other reason than he saw an amount of love that was even willing to put up with his abuse for the sake of giving him a birthday party. And ever since then, it has been very different with them. That's what's going to happen with God with you. Don't you ever think that you have to deserve God's forgiveness. You don't deserve it. Come back. When people, periodically, I hear people say to me, "Father, I didn't go to communion today because I had a fight with my husband, or I didn't feel good about this or that, and I didn't want to approach our Lord with my heart like that." And I always get a little bit perturbed, because that's to me like saying, "I really feel sick. When I feel better, I'm going to go to the doctor." Does that make sense to you? Well, of course not. It's when you feel horrible that you go to the doctor. The Lord wants you, even if you're not coming for the right reasons. It doesn't matter for Him. Don't you get it? He's your Father. And a father and a mother love their child not because they do good, but because they're their son and daughter. That's why He loves you. And so it's not like the first son, you have to have the right reason to come back. And you say, "No, I'm not going to go back because I don't deserve it." You don't. I'm always amazed that God doesn't strike me with lightning when I celebrate Mass. Because I don't deserve to be wearing this stuff. Right? I don't deserve it. And yet I have to get up here and do it. And then the other part is the same thing with the son. Do you consider yourself, oh, I'm a good Christian because I keep the law and these other people? I always like it. You know, the older son said, this son of yours comes back. Okay? Are we the opposite? Are we the kind of people that, man, I'm good, I'm religious, and these other people are not? It's not about that. It's about being loved by your Father. And to the degree that you choose to go apart from Him, you're going to end up with pigs. Sooner or later. It just works that way. So, come back to God, doesn't matter the reasons. None of us is doing this for 100% pure reasons. None of us. But our Father doesn't care. He's just glad that you're here.